Okay, C. All right, for the director of music, for Jeduthun of Asaph, a psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, that years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Thank you, Katie. Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see you all here today. It's been a hot second, but I'm so glad to be back. If I haven't met you, my name is Chris, and I have the privilege of being one of the ministers here at Purcell Grove and Oatley Anglican Churches. It's good to see you. I'm glad that we are able to dig into Psalm 77 together. It is a cracker. There's a lot going on. The psalmist is asking some really tough questions. He's remembering back to what God has done in the past. And to his questions, he doesn't actually give us an answer. Is God unfaithful? I don't know. He hasn't told me. We're going to have to read and find out. So why don't we pray and ask that God will help us to understand what he has for us in his word this morning. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And thank you that you do speak to us through it. Please give us ears to hear and hearts to understand what you have to say to us today. Amen. When you think of words to describe God, I wonder what comes to mind. Big, strong, mighty, there's nothing that he can do, there's nothing that he can't do. Loving, absent, maybe. Hope not. But that is what the psalmist is feeling. I want you to imagine something with me. I want you to imagine that you're at home. You live with people. It could be a spouse. It could be a roommate. It could be your kids. It could be your parents. It could be anybody. You go to bed one night, and the usual routine is to get up and have breakfast. Have breakfast with everybody. But one day, you wake up, and the house is empty. Everybody is gone. Now, this has happened to someone that I know when they were a kid, and expectedly, the question that was in their mind is, where are you? Where has everybody gone? What's going on? You should be here, but you aren't. Where are you? And this was in the days before mobiles were all around, and so they couldn't even shoot off a quick SMS or check, find my family. Now, as a kid or even a teenager, even as an adult, this is a terrifying situation to be in. It's not fun. I need to find my page. Here we go. Why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me? And at the moment, they are valid questions, aren't they? What is going on? It turns out that their parents had found out that there was nothing for breakfast in the house, and so had gone down to the shops to get breakfast supplies and hadn't realised that their teenager was still asleep and unaware of the breakfast situation. It was all right. Their parents did come home and they had breakfast together, but it was stressful. And I wonder if you have ever asked that same question. Where are you? You aren't where you're supposed to be. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. What is going on? And if you're asking that question, I think for the most part, you might be in a pretty bad spot, at least mentally. Now, in our psalm, Psalm 77, the author is in a similar situation. He is experiencing or reflecting on a time of trouble, and he has some really tough questions for God. So why don't we reread verses 1 to 9 again together? It says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? God, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? God, are you unfaithful? These are the questions that are being asked. The psalmist is crying out to God. He's crying out desperately. He is seeking God. He is reaching out to him. And yet, it appears as though God is not there, that God is not listening. God, where are you? The psalmist is praying deeply personal prayers in a time of trouble. Nothing can comfort him. Even thinking of God is tough. Remembering the past, that's hard too. How can God, who did such wonderful works of salvation and showed such great power in the past, be so absent now? This is who you are. You are God. You delivered your people. You delivered them again and again. Where are you? Even prayer is difficult. They say that they are so troubled that they cannot speak. They think back. They compare a time when God acted very visibly, powerfully, to their present situation, and they feel unheard. They feel unanswered. They feel abandoned. Now, the psalmist has great expectations, don't they? They look at God's work in history, and they say, well, why not that now? God, you saved your people from famine. You brought them out of Egypt. You looked after them in the wilderness. You brought them to the promised land. So where is this now? What is happening? It's no wonder that reflecting on the past, on the good old days, at least initially, distresses the psalmist. Is God unfaithful to his promises of old? Now, as they are reflecting on what God has done in the past, they call to mind the songs of the night. These songs are typically songs of praise of God. They declare who God is. And they are prompted to ask these questions. Verse 7, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? They're hard questions, aren't they? Now, the Psalms are wonderful in that many of them can give us language as we talk to God. They can give us helpful guidelines and reminders of how to bring our troubles to God. And many of them, Psalm 77 included, contain raw outpourings of emotion. I'll ask again, have you ever been in a situation where you have felt abandoned? And to take it a step further, have you ever felt like you have been abandoned by God? Have you ever wondered if God is there? He is. God is reliable, but he is outside of our expectations. So if we do feel like God has abandoned us or that he is unfaithful, we actually can look back on his great works of salvation in the past to know that we can trust him now and into the future. And this is exactly what the psalmist does. He's looking for an answer to the questions in verses 7 to 9, and they call out the very character of God. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Now, the psalmist doesn't actually answer these questions, but as we read on, we see that he does actually know, and we do as well. Will the Lord reject forever? No. We know that he continues saving his people. Will he never show his favor again? He will. He will show his favor again. Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Not at all. Now, this is an interesting one, isn't it? God's unfailing love failing? It doesn't make sense. Even in the question, we see the outcome. He is saying it is unfailing love. Has his promise failed for all time? No, it hasn't. Has God forgotten to be merciful? Not at all. Has he in anger withheld his compassion? No, sir. God is reliable. What the psalmist remembers of God in the past and in history is still who God is. And so we get to verses 10 and 11 and we see a shift in tone. It's a turning point in the psalm. Verse 10 says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago." In the psalmist's time of distress and need, something changes. As they have been calling out to God and reflecting on God's actions in the past, their attitude changes. In their asking questions of God's character, they once again think back to God's actions. When the Lord Most High stretched out his right hand, showing his power and his readiness to deliver his people from their distress. And this second time, where the psalmist remembered God's actions of old, really has a different feel to it, doesn't it? Before, the psalmist was crying out, saying, "You did this then, God, why not now?" But now it shifts. "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of old." It is almost as if in their distress, and as they are reflecting and being disheartened, they remember who God is, and it changes their view. And so now they say this, "I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. God, this is who you are. Who is as great as you? No one. You show your power. You are the God of wonders. You redeem your people. This is who you are." A moment of remembrance and realization. Yes, God, this is who you are. Now, the remembrance of the past is the same, but the attitude is completely different. God, you are reliable. And if this is how you acted in the past, then I know that you are still this God. I am sure that as the psalmist reflects, they are encouraged by the reliability of God, but also reminded that God works well and truly outside of our expectations. I mean, how has God saved his people in the past? We've got Joseph, seemingly the obnoxious brother. He was sold into slavery in Egypt. He was slandered. He was thrown into jail. He was forgotten about. Then he was remembered. Then he became the second in charge of Egypt, ultimately leading to him being able to save his family from a famine. Who would have thought that God would work like that? It's unexpected. The escaping from Egypt, parting the Red Sea, impossible. Not for God. Expected? Certainly not. The walls of Jericho. They marched round and round and round and round, blew some trumpets, and the walls came tumbling down. Unexpected. God is reliable. He is consistent. We can fully trust him that who we read about in the Bible is who he is, who he still is today. The God who loves, who cares for and saves his people. God is reliable, but he is certainly not predictable. God is powerful. Now, the psalmist goes on and he recalls a specific event, which at the time was the ultimate showing of God's saving power, divine salvation, the exodus from Egypt. Verses 16 to 20 say, "The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." That's wild, isn't it? Now, the sea, the deep, it stood no chance, let alone the Egyptian army behind them. Now, in the worldview at the time, the deep, the sea, the ocean, it was significant. It represented chaos. It was death. It was something to be avoided. And yet, even this great power, it stands no chance against the Lord Almighty. No chance at all. We get a picture of God being physically with his people, leading them to salvation. Lightning flashed, the earth trembled. These are all images of God being on earth with his people. It's used throughout the Old Testament. And yet, if you have a look at verse 19, we see that God went unseen. It's a weird juxtaposition, isn't it? We see all this stuff, God who parted the sea, a pillar of fire coming down to stop the Egyptian army, and yet God went unseen. God's presence and his power are without question, but quite often his means, his purposes, and his ways are hidden. But God is still God who performs miracles, still the God of wonders, even if his ways don't seem like that to us at a specific time. God still continues to lead his people like a shepherd, guiding them in the direction that he has for them. So in their time of strife, the psalmist looks back and is reminded and holds firm to God's great acts of salvation in the past for comfort in the present. And we know today that this is still who God is. The God who the psalmist remembers is the same today, and salvation history continues. It's not over yet. As God led his people through the Red Sea and saved them, he continues saving his people, leading to the ultimate act of salvation, God sending Jesus, his son, into the world as a baby to die for the sins of the world so that each person has the choice to follow Jesus, to be made right with God, to make Jesus king of their lives, and to live in the kingdom of God. It's amazing. Now, faith in Jesus is not blind. Faith in Jesus is trusting in this God, the God who works great miracles, who has power and does amazing saving works, who is consistent, who does the unexpected, like sending his son into the world. It's unexpected. So if you feel like God is not there or not doing what he should, remember who he is. Remember what he has done. Like the psalmist, be encouraged by who God is and know that who he was is who he still is. God is faithful. He's faithful to his people. He's faithful to his promises, even when we are not. We also need to manage our expectations. Our view of God is very, very small. We cannot comprehend the power and the authority that he has. And we can't hold God to our very small expectations of him. He may act in ways that we expect, but oftentimes he doesn't. God's actions in the past show that he is faithful in the present, even when our weakness leads us to believe otherwise. And looking back to the past is a good practice. Remembering what God has done is so, so encouraging. And we don't even need to look back that far, because God still does work today. He still answers prayers. If you look back and reflect on your own prayers and just things that have happened in your life, I am sure that you will see God's hand bringing opportunities, steering conversations, answering prayers. Now, as a church, at the end of each sermon, we've been encouraged to write down our one big thing. And I found it to be so, so helpful. But I'd like to encourage you today to add one more thing to your list of things that you're writing down. I know it's hard, but I would love for you to write down a prayer. Maybe someone that you want to pray for, an event that's coming up that you want to pray for, anything that you want. Because if we write down our prayers, it is a wonderfully encouraging opportunity for us to look back at that a week, 2 weeks, 6 months, a year down the line, and to see how God has been working. I don't know about you, but I forget most of the things that I pray for. And so as I have done this, it has been hugely encouraging. The one that I have written down is one that I shouldn't have to, but I still did, is that I'm praying for my two boys. I am praying that God will work in their lives to draw them to himself. And I pray that in the future, I'll be able to look back at that prayer as I've continued to pray it and be encouraged to see how God has been working in their lives. So as you write down your one big thing a little bit later on, if you can, write down a prayer or two as well. It's a really encouraging thing to do. So we've seen that God is reliable, but he is well and truly out of our expectations. So if we ever feel as though God is unfaithful or is just not present, we must hold on to his great acts of faith and salvation in the past to know that we can trust him now and into the future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your words to us in Psalm 76. Thank you for the outpouring of emotion that the psalmist had. But thank you that as he remembered who you are, he was drawn to praise, knowing your consistency, that you are the God of wonders and that that doesn't change. I pray that we will be similar, that if we ever feel that you are not here or that you are not working, that we will remember who you are and that we will trust you and lean on you, knowing that your actions may just be unseen to us for the time. As we start the new year, help us to lean on you, trusting you with all things. Amen.